Let's pray, shall we? Father, as we come to study your word now, would you open it up to us? Help us to listen for what you're saying. Open our ears and our eyes and our hearts to your message for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking about following this morning. And one of the main reasons for that is this big tank of water that I'm sure you will have noticed in front here. It's a bit of a giveaway. Esther and Jenny and Bill have all made a decision to follow Jesus. And that's not a new decision for any of them. In fact, I think for all of them it was made some years ago. But today we're celebrating with them as they make a very public declaration of that decision, and as God demonstrates very visually what the implications of that decision are, not only in terms of being washed clean from their sins, but of dying to their old selves and being raised up to new life in Jesus. Now, before that happens, though, I want us to think a bit more about this idea of following. Lindsay asked earlier on what the most important thing that you need is if you want to be a follower. And of course, the answer is that you need something or someone to follow. But there's another question that goes along with that. And without a good answer to this question, the whole exercise is kind of pointless. And that question is, why? Why would you want to be a follower? And more specifically, why would you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ? For Esther and Bill and Jenny, and for many other people here today, they've made a deliberate choice to follow Jesus. It's not just some random event that's happened. They didn't wake up one morning and go, I think I'm going to follow Jesus, any more than you might wake up one morning and think, I'm going to be a landscape architect, or I'm going to learn Portuguese, or I'm going to join the Communist Party. I mean, you might do that, but you would have good reasons for doing so. Either that, or you're just off your head. And yet, when Jesus spoke to those four people in the passage that we read earlier, to Simon and Andrew and James and John, he wasn't really giving much away in terms of why they should follow him. Why should four trained fishermen give up their jobs and their family responsibilities to go and follow an itinerant preacher wandering around Galilee? All he offered was this slightly strange promise that he would teach them to fish for people. And then in the next chapter, he meets a tax collector called Matthew. And again, he just says, follow me. And up Matthew gets, abandons his very profitable little franchise, and goes off to become a disciple of Jesus. Now, I'm pretty sure that if Jesus had gone to a marketing professional, he would have been told, you've got it all wrong. You need to sell the sizzle. You need to tell people your USP, your unique selling point. But he doesn't do that. He just says, follow me. And in fact, it gets worse, because later on, in Mark 8, Jesus turns to the crowd and says, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. Now, that's not really a great sales pitch. Take up your cross. We hear those words and we think of expressions like, we all have our cross to bear, meaning I get terrible headaches, or my colleague at work is rather inefficient, or things like that. But the people listening to Jesus had probably all seen people take up their cross, and they knew what it meant. When a man from one of their villages took up a cross and went off with a little band of Roman soldiers, he was on a one-way journey. He wasn't coming back. Jesus is saying to people, come and follow me, and if you do, you're going to have to die to a whole way of life. And for some of you, that might mean quite literally and physically dying. I don't know about you, but if I heard that, I'm not sure I would be standing there in the queue to sign up. So what's the attraction? What's the reason people started following Jesus, given what he kept saying about the cost of doing so. Well, here's what he says on another occasion. This is from John chapter 8. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. The claims that Jesus made by his words, claims that were backed up by the things he did and the way that he lived, were that he could offer something that nobody else could offer. This is the ultimate unique selling point. Something that nobody else can offer and that everybody needs. In a world that is full of darkness and despair and frustration and suffering and misery and loneliness and death, Jesus comes along and says, follow me and you'll find light and life. So they put him to death. And not surprisingly, the people that had chosen to follow him went very quiet. And then suddenly, just 7 weeks later, just 50 days on, 7 weeks after the Roman government had given them a very graphic and practical reason why they shouldn't follow this Jesus, this so-called Messiah, suddenly Jerusalem explodes with new Jesus followers. Peter, the guy that used to be called Simon, who we met in the first reading. That's Peter, who used to be a common fisherman. That's Peter, who had no theological training, no formal education, no public speaking skills. That's Peter, who just weeks before had been so scared for his life that he had publicly denied he even knew Jesus. That Peter stands up in front of a huge crowd in Jerusalem on one of the busiest days of the year and tells them why he follows Jesus. This is what he says. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And we are all witnesses of this. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Now that's a reason to follow someone. Peter's words pierced their hearts, it says, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Now that would have been quite a baptism service. But you know what? The reason for it and the promise of new life and forgiveness and hope is just the same now as it was on that day in Jerusalem. The gift of the Holy Spirit that God is offering is still available. And Jesus is still saying to you, follow me.